Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. And now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Black shirt, Paisley tie.
Yeah.
Nice jacket.
Thank you.
A nice outfit. I like
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Is that a Jerry Garcia tie?
It is not. It is not. But it is one of my favorites. Kind of a, got a lot of pretty colors.
Yeah.
On these.
That was good.
On the.
Nice outfit.
Here. Thank you.
All right. All right, Steve-O.
All right. Hey, I just wanted to, before we get started too much, we got a weather report from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
A dear listener named Phyllis Cannon called from Mobile, Alabama. She listens to us regularly, and she says it's been snowing there since 8 a.m. They expect an inch an hour somewhere until 8 or 9 tonight.
An inch an hour?
That's what she said.
What's her name again?
Phyllis Cannon.
Phyllis. So now, Phyllis is maybe listening now.
I hope she is. Thank you for calling in. And
I've got a picture here of my granddaughter who lives across the bay from Mobile.
Oh, does she?
She's out playing in the snow.
There you go.
Kids love snow.
So Phyllis is blind, so she can't see the snow, but she went out and she could feel it, and she hear her. You can hear snow the way it muffles the surroundings and everything. She heard a couple of birds fighting out what they were going to do. But then she says she thinks that what's happening with the storm, that this is God christening the Gulf of America.
Very good.
That's what Phyllis has told us. So I'm not.
I like that. Christening the Gulf of America. Yeah. First of all, let me just say, I thought this happens a lot, at least with me. I thought President Trump at the time, President-elect Trump, was kidding about that, but he's not.
No, and we can one of the things I want to do is talk about executive orders.
Yeah, let's go.
It's in the executive orders, renaming things. And we'll get into how that might happen.
Okay.
Let's start with this, though. One of the things that President Trump did at the signing ceremony at the Capital One Center last night is he signed a pardon for nearly every January 6th, he calls them hostages, prisoner. They're supposed to be let out on the street. We talked a couple weeks ago, to a gentleman named Gary Haven, who was at the time, I think we mentioned this yesterday, he was flying his helicopter out to Western North Carolina to help with the flood victims. Well, he has organized a welcoming party for all of the J6 prisoners as they're let out. Now, they are in dozens of prisons in dozens of states, many of them in prison far, far away from their actual homes.
Yes.
So he has what he has called ambassadors, just a lot of, I suppose, an ambassador for every prison. So it's a 40-some, was that, Fred? I don't have
he said 70-something
70
prisons. They were scattered around the country.
Yeah. And 70 prisons. So he's got 70 ambassadors, 70-ish ambassadors. And for those that have to travel, he has organized private jets to take them in class to their homes, if they have homes, and to because some of them lost homes and families.
So they lost homes. Some of them lost families through divorce. This is terrible.
Yeah, it was. And we talked to him this morning in our store meeting. You mentioned the store meeting. And he himself is going to be on a tour today of different airports to pick these prisoners up. But that's one of the things that President Trump had promised and one of the first things he delivered on.
Fred, this is a president who keeps his promises.
That's right.
And We have talked about this over the last 4 years. Sandy Rios has really led the fight for American Family Radio in coverage of the January 6th. And the vast majority of these cases seems like travesties of justice, where a lot of these individuals still have not been before a judge.
I know.
4 years later, I don't know how. Listen, I hope they sue the federal government. I don't like tax money coming out of our pockets and paying people. It's a waste of money, but that's what happens when the people running the government break the law or trample on constitutional rights. Somebody's got to pay to put these people's lives back together. So I am glad for – now, I have said, and Tim has said, that, you know, those who smash windows or what have you, I know there's some disagreement about whether all these – some of these were these FBI plants. I don't know that we'll ever get the full story on this.
Oh, I think you're going to come close with
okay.
with.
Okay, you think we I will? Think, he will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I think with Kash Patel, that's his.
Yes,
that's his mission in life now.
So, what I'm trying to say is, if there are those in prison who were sentenced, if they went through the trial and then were found guilty for, you know, breaking into the Capitol and smashing and doing whatever, okay, you should pay the price for breaking the law. I doubt 4 years in prison is justice.
Right.
Okay, especially since the leftists have no problem letting people out for heinous crimes. But anyway, I am happy to see that President Trump is keeping his promise. And like you said, good point. Maybe we will get to the bottom of some of this. There's got to be something illegal going on and conspiracy, and I'm talking about as a legal term, a conspiracy to break the law and trample on constitutional rights. Otherwise, why would Biden have issued pardons?
Well, and that's some of these people. Yeah, not only some of these people, but his very family members. So he did yesterday do a 2 rounds of pardons as he was leaving office. The first round, he pardoned people that you might have heard of, like Anthony Fauci, the members of the J6 committee, including the Adam Kinzinger and the Wyoming.
Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm looking for my notes as we're talking here. The second round of pardons, and he did this like as the swearing-in ceremony was starting.
Yes.
His family members. He pardoned a preemptive pardon for his brother, and he threw them all in. And why did he throw them all in? Well, maybe they're all guilty of something. But it's another. If there are some that would have been found out absent this pardon, putting all the names out there kind of fogs that up a little bit.
Well, okay, let me just throw this in. And this is my opinion. You guys can feel free to disagree.
I do.
Okay. It obviously looks bad. Adam Schiff, by the way, was also pardoned.
Yes.
Last minute. Okay. California, at the time, was California Congressman Adam Schiff. It doesn't necessarily mean that Biden's family members were guilty and thus the pardon protects them from prosecution. It could be, folks, I know some of you are going to scream at the radio. It could be that Joe Biden just did not want them, in his mind, being harassed by prosecutions. In other words, done dirty, like the Biden administration did to Trump and people around him. That could be the reason why he pardoned, or it could be that President Biden knows, that there were illegal things going on, that brothers, sisters, son, others had gotten money under the table. That could be also. So
A lot of people were asking how a man, 50 years of government salary, affords 4 homes.
That's a legitimate question.
What do you mean? You mean Joe Biden could be the big guy?
Well,
you know,
I'm just saying. I was sharing with Ed before we went on the air a little meme we saw of Joe Biden coming back to Delaware.
Well,
getting off the plane, slipping on all his money.
I have a question though for Steve.
Sir. Yes.
Has Joe Biden always believed in preemptive pardons?
Well, as so it happens, he didn't always believe in it. In fact, we're going to listen to him. I think, Brent, correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't title these things. I think we're going to listen to Cut 10. We're going to hear first Rachel Maddow, I think, talking about it. And then we're going to hear from the big man himself.
This is going back to what?
2020.
Before Joe Biden became president.
Before Joe Biden became president. And thank you for setting this up. The the rumor was that Donald Trump was going to issue preemptive pardons for his sons and his family members. Oh, well, that's just, you can't do that. Cut 10.
Have you ever heard of somebody getting a preemptive pardon who was innocent of all crime?
But no. Here, it's an effort not only to prospectively pardon people for things they have not yet been charged with and may never be charged with, but also it's the president's own family. It's people that have been covering up for the president in addition to his own family.
Does this concern you, all these preemptive pardons?
Well, it's it concerns me in terms of it, what kind of precedent it sets and how the rest of the world looks at us as a nation of laws and justice. Now, in terms of the pardons, you're not going to see in our administration that kind of approach to pardons.
And the nose sure has grown.
Well, to defend the man, he might not have remembered he said that.
Well, listen, it is going to be good not to for us not to have to make fun of Joe Biden's clear cognitive decline anymore. Well, maybe we'll make maybe we'll have a few shots left to take. But but this, listen, this is the way the left has operated. It's certainly the way the media has operated. I can't tell you how many times on X I'll see a post from someone who's on the left raging against something Trump has said or done, and then what is underneath it is an earlier post
right.
where they were defending the left doing the very same
yeah.
thing. And again, we need to be clear. It's only right to say sometimes Republicans and conservatives can be hypocrites too. But that statement there from Joe Biden is a clear case of not only hypocrisy, but, do as I say, not as I do.
So did you see another one of Joe Biden's parting gifts yesterday was unilaterally ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment to the U.S. Constitution?
I saw that. He said it was...
He said, now the law of the land.
Yes.
I declare it is now the law of the land.
And that is not true. No. That is not... The Equal Rights Amendment is not the 28th Amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah.
There's a time limit on those, yeah. and they failed to get it ratified. So.
It did. Saying anything about the value of it. Yeah. He can't just unanimously decide that. There are a couple other executive orders I thought that were interesting. I know we've talked a little bit about renaming of certain, like we talked already about our weather reporter down in Mobile in the Gulf of America.
Phyllis.
Phyllis. Thank you, Phyllis. And there's another, the mountain in Alaska, Mount McKinley, which was Denali, and now is back to Mount McKinley. And
was Obama who did that.
Well,
right?
Obama changed it to
Denali.
Denali, and Trump changed it back to Mount McKinley.
He mentioned it in his inauguration?
He did.
Inaugural speech, didn't he?
Yes. I kept asking myself, well, how does he, who does that? Who, not like.
Who changes names?
Who's in charge of names?
The Interior Department.
Well,
right?
I didn't know this, but there is a U.S. board on geographic names.
Hmm.
It's already established. It was put into existence in 1890. And basically what it does, its purpose is to maintain uniform geographic name usage throughout the federal government. So he is going to direct this board and appoint people to this board that will, as far as the federal government is concerned, have us bordering on the Gulf of America and having the tallest mountain of the United States be Mount McKinley. Now, whether Rand McNally, if they do they do maps anymore? Whether Google Maps is going to go along and rename it? That I don't think he has any power over that, although the way social media has been making friends with Donald Trump, it wouldn't surprise me if Google Maps...
Yeah. Well, Fred, let me just say this. Now, of course, the inauguration was yesterday. Mm-hmm. So what I'm about to say is purely speculative. But if Trump finishes out his term, his administration, and J.D. Vance were to win election and then re-election, you could have 12 years of Trump/Vance. And that might be what it takes for these names to stick.
Mm-hmm. After 12 years, people, you know, kids in school and, you know, U.S. maps, it's the Gulf of America, it's Mount McKinley, and maybe it does stick. But this is, we talk about Donald Trump. He is a fascinating person. I would never have even thought of changing the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, but he did. Yeah. And again, I'm surprised that was serious about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a wheeler dealer business guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't operate the way traditional politicians do. He's a deal maker, and he will use the strength of the United States to get a good deal for the United States. You know, what was interesting, you know, he's talked about 25% tariffs for Canada.
Yeah.
And Canada is in a political upheaval all of its own. They're probably going to have an election this spring up there. Trudeau is announced he's resigning. But somebody was saying that yesterday at one of the inaugural events in Washington, the premier of Alberta, they call them premiers instead of governors, they call them premiers. The premier of Alberta was at the inaugural. Now, what is the premier of Alberta, Canada, doing at the inaugural? She was invited to the inaugural celebration.
Governor of the 51st state. Huh?
Well, here's the reason. Alberta produces over 4 million barrels of oil a day for the United States. She wants to, the premier up there, wants to increase that to 8 million. She's now a friend of Donald Trump.
Right.
So this is the way he operates.
Yes.
And he will use that leverage to get what he wants. There's all kinds of crazy talk going on about the new relationship between Canada and the United States. There was one guy, he's an entrepreneur, talking yesterday, could turn it into kind of a European common passport between the two countries. And even that would lead to no tariffs between the two countries.
But he starts off with 25% tariff to get their attention.
That's just a starting point in the negotiations.
Yeah.
It is going to be a wild ride.
It is. To your point earlier, Ed, it's taken us 16 years to get over President Obama.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's these things have long-lasting impact. And so we'll just wait and see. He is Make America Great Again. In his speech yesterday, talking about President Trump, his inaugural address, several times talking about this is going to start a new golden age for America, and it's the American century, all these kinds of ideas. He's a true believer in this, and he wants America and Americans to prosper. That's why he spoke directly in his speech yesterday to Black Americans, Hispanic Americans. He wants everyone included in the coming prosperity.
Very transactional, the man.
Yes.
And I wonder, before we leave the EOs, there's one more executive order I wanted to highlight that nobody's talking about. But I find it fascinating. He signed the Promoting Beautiful Federal Civic Architecture executive order. And he says his agencies are to submit to him within 60 days recommendations to advance the policy that federal public buildings should be visually identifiable as civic buildings and respect regional, traditional, and classical architectural heritage in order to uplift and beautify public spaces and ennoble the United States and our system of self-government.
Well, Fred,
none of these box things anymore. He wants classical architecture.
He said, I don't remember exactly, this might have been prior to the election or after the election. I can't, in my mind, pinpoint this. But he did, I think he met with the mayor of D.C. Mm-hmm. and said, I want this city to be beautiful. I want it to be the envy of the world.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the crime and also the poverty there. I think President Trump understands. He's a builder, okay? He understands that architecture and not having graffiti on things and, you know, slums don't inspire anyone. And so I think he is seeing a connection between beautifying. I'm guessing that's why he signed this. If I was president, that wouldn't have been on my radar for the first 100 days, let alone the first day, what Steve's talking about. this could, you know, like you said, this could get really interesting in terms of his approach to even inner cities like Washington, D.C.
Well, he is a builder.
Yeah,
that's true. Literally, that's what we're talking about. He wants nice things.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's done that as a business person in New York. And now he wants to translate that into something national.
Yeah.
He when he says he wants to make America beautiful again,
yeah,
he is really talking about buildings and all of that sort of thing. So it's and he understands too, he doesn't even have 4 years. He's got 2 years before the next election.
Yes, midterms.
He's got to accomplish some things. And, you know, there are going to be challenges for this president. It's interesting, his intent. But Ukraine. Remember some of the things that he said during the election campaign within a few days after I'm elected? They're now talking, well, we need to wait 100 days.
Yeah.
There are going to be some challenges for this president, too.
Right.
That aren't going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
So the criticisms of what he's doing are going to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the mainstream media and that sort of thing. So we're happy for the president right now, but there's going to be, he has said a lot of things that are going to be more challenging than what he can correct in an executive order.
Well, the lawsuits have already started.
Yeah, they have.
You know, so this is, listen, there is a real resistance.
Oh, yes.
Within the administrative state to change anything, yes, against any kind of change at all.
Yes.
And he's going to have to deal with it.
I want to go back to the naming thing, or the building things, not the naming thing, the beautiful buildings, because this is something that we talked about extensively in my seminary education, about how we, the buildings that we use to honor God.
Right.
Remember the cathedrals in Europe, soaring, inspiring, awe-inspiring buildings that just, how do they stand up? You didn't think that there could be something so beautiful.
Right.
And then in many churches here, we've kind of reverted to boxes, you know.
Yeah.
Just and there is something to, if you're going to worship an awe-inspiring God, to be in an awe-inspiring place.
Yeah.
It speaks to your theology. And in this case, it speaks to your patriotism.
Yeah.
So, and your view of the nation. But
in fact, I saw recently on social media, it was a young woman who had gone to Europe first time, and she was in a cathedral. I think she was outside when she was making this little video, but she was blown away by the cathedral.
If you've ever been,
she said, "How in the world did someone make something like this?" I don't know whether she'd never seen pictures. It's probably quite different to be right there to see it live. Yeah. But there is something to that.
Hey, a couple just a little quick headlines from our favorite publication, the Babylon Bee, before we go. You know, the TikTok, there was a lot of talk about whether or not that was going to be here or not. Well, Zoomers who thought they might lose access to TikTok were frantically asking their grandparents how to use Facebook.
All right, so that's a Babylon Bee. You got me on that. I was thinking, wait, they did? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what? Well, you got another headline?
Yeah, well, Vivek and Ilan have asked Trump if they can make a blanket fort in the Lincoln bedroom.
Make do what?
A blanket fort.
A blanket fort. A blanket fort. Those guys did become pretty close pals. So, all right. Well, folks, this is just day one. Actually, technically, yesterday wasn't a full day. So buckle up is all I can say. The next 4 years are going to be lit. Is that still a word? I don't know. Tim Wildman should be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. You've been listening to today's issues. Hope you will join us again tomorrow.